Good morning, Oroville. Good morning, the big wild world. This is Krishna McKenzie bringing you your road back to nature. And this morning I am with Rekha.
Hello.
Hi, Rekha. Hi. Nice to have you here this morning. And Rekha is a friend, a fellow Aurovillian, and she is one of the people who has really been behind trying to bring a community garden into her community. So tell us about your community garden and the trials and tribulations of that adventure, and how long has it been? When did you start?
Well, I think when the community had planned their landscaping space, and we were wondering, you know, what we want to do with it, I think this seed was in my head at that time. This is almost about more than 2 years back is okay. When the idea kind of was kind of stuck in my head, because we had a lot of space. So I guess that's when, you know, the to and fro with you, the messages of shall we do something started.
Because it's a very new community. Yes. You know, the buildings are just put up, and it's not exactly like there are a lot of established trees and parks and that sort of limitations to gardens that are in other communities.
True. Right. And it was a large expanse of space. Mm. So it just kept, you know, going in my head that we should do something about it. And that's when, you know, I approached you. And luckily, with all the lockdown and all that, we had a lot of time in hand. And that's when I think something started happening. Yeah. We started with a small, tiny little space.
And time, energy and focus. No?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we started with one circle garden?
Yes, it's about 1,000 square feet. I figured that out with a local farmer, how much we've kind of come up with. So it's about 1,000 square feet is what we started with. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And you and Stefano, who is running this Oroville Radio, he was one of the major diggers of the trenches and the creators of the garden.
Absolutely.
With you and Marion.
Yeah, Stefano was our muscle behind the whole project, and Marion brought her feminine energy, the motherly care, and she's been the one who
and the mulching.
Absolutely
nice.
And also the kids, thanks to this, all these kids were at home, and it was lovely to
they
have
lent
them
a hand.
Raking
up leaves and stuff.
Absolutely. We had real good fun, bringing them all together. And for them to see, how a bare piece of land kind of
Can transform. I mean, it's not only them. There's many people, they say, I've seen what's happened in Serenity. It's amazing. I mean, the bananas are I think they must be 5-6 feet high now.
Yes, it's taller than me.
Yeah, and the tapioca is taller. The fruit trees are growing. We have, what fruit trees there are? There are ramphal.
Ramphal, we have sitaphal, we have soursop.
As a lemon, that big lemon.
Yes.
And just outside the garden, you also have Jack and Chiku, I think, have been planted.
Jack and Chiku, and we also have a pitanga.
A pitanga has
cherry.
Been planted. Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. And around the basic garden unit that we used in Serenity was the circle garden. So it's a 2.5 meter diameter with a trench, and the trench is nothing more than a vessel in which we return organic matter. So we collected all sorts of sticks and leaves and weeds and grass, and we filled up the trenches.
Absolutely.
And I think in Serenity what we did, and it became a bit more standard for me when I was doing gardens in other places, was that we did a trench as a cross through the garden, creating four quadrants, which became a bit I think the more trenches you have, the more organic matter you have, on the level of sustainability of the soil, the better that is going to be over time.
True. And also the accessibility, we can walk.
Accessibility, yes.
Like, I realized that because it's been about close to 3 months since we started this project. Mm. And we the whole circle gardens were filled with such lovely edible weeds, but we had to kind of obviously return it back to the soil. And it was so easy for me to, get into the trenches and, pluck them out.
Yes.
If not for those crosses, I think it would have been quite tough to reach out.
Right.
So,
So, in the gardens, we have growing around the central fruit tree, which is our long duration plant. We have our medium duration plants, papaya, banana, There's some pineapple drumstick. There's some turmeric.
Yes. And now we have cluster beans, which have kind of...
So those are the more shorter durations. Yes. So we have cluster bean, as you say, lady's finger. Yes. Have they've germinated?
Lady's finger hasn't germinated
yet.
We've just
planted it
and
last
eggplants
Wednesday.
Are waiting to be put
in. Eggplants waiting to go in. This cucumber has gone in.
Yes.
But the bottle gourd is rampant.
Yes.
And that's, the ash gourd.
Yeah, that's around the natural fence that we and Amir and all of us created. So which
which is a beautiful part of this particular garden is the collection of all sorts of sticks just piled together in a 1 meter high, sort of a hedge. And that's to stop the cows coming in because there is a cow issue at times.
Yes.
And but then this hedge has then become a structure on which the gourds are very elegantly climbing and creeping over, along with blue flowers, which will slowly emerge. The Sangapu, the Shankarpushpa, Clitoria ternatia, and the pumpkins. Now we've just planted, I think last week we planted long beans and wing beans
on
the hedge.
Yes, waiting for that too,
So those will also pop up very soon. Yeah. And this hedge is a typical permaculture.
Yeah.
You get more than one result from one action. So it's a hedge to stop the cows.
Yeah.
It's also decomposing into the soil.
Yes.
So plants will feed from underneath it.
Yeah.
And also it's a structure on which which plants can grow. So that's the beauty of permaculture. And and then a lot of edible weeds.
Yes, a lot of
spinaches.
Weeds. Yeah, and we've created a small little spinach triangle, which was Stefano's idea of having a triangle. So Marion is the one who's taking care of watering that with a little bit
and
of
there you
fresh
have
water.
Yeah. Basil spinach, New Zealand spinach, chicken spinach, satenekire, devil's horse whip.
Yes, that's a gift by nature.
And I think there's sweet potato, portulaca. Yeah. I think there's about 10 different spinaches in all
that. More than
that,
I would say.
Yeah, there's
more than that. Yeah,
and Rosella.
Rosella. And
there's lemongrass in there. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's very nice.
And some herbs like Karpuravali and basil.
Basil, exactly.
Yeah. And curry leaf is in the,
curry leaf.
And
you have air potato.
Yes.
As well growing
in there.
Yeah,
that's the central beauty.
The Diascora in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that... it's good to talk about the challenges that have been faced. So one of the challenges was this whole issue of grey water. There's a big sort of, there's a lack of understanding and knowledge of what grey water is.
Yeah.
No? So grey water is basically kitchen waste, bathroom waste. No?
Yes, yes.
It's not the toilet waste. That's black water, no?
So
the grey water is the kitchen and the bathroom waste.
Yeah.
And... they say it's not good to use if it's stored.
Yes, if it's not on a continuous loop of usage.
Right.
So the recent study that we did on the water came across and when we checked it for the irrigation standards, when you check it for irrigation standards, apparently it's perfect.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. The NPK is quite high and nice, which is good for the soil. Mm. And the, E. coli is within the limits that it needs to be.
Right.
So for irrigation purpose, it's supposed to be really good. And no wonder the plants are thriving.
And I was told, though, that if we could use a drip irrigation system where it just drips into the soil, it's even safer because the E. coli is not something that integrates into the tissues of the plants.
Oh, okay.
It's something that sits on the leaf from contact with the water.
Yeah.
So as long as the drip goes directly into the soil, we actually avoid that whole E. coli story completely, which is a wonderful thing. And you make your own soap, right? You make your own bioenzyme, shampoo.
Yes. Everything. A citrus bioenzyme is basically, it's an all-purpose cleanser. Mm. So it doesn't matter whether you're using it on yourself, on your surroundings, on your pets, for your car, for your bikes. It really doesn't matter. So it's just an all-purpose, cleanser.
Mm.
And it becomes really versatile. You add a little soap nuts into it or shikakai into it. You know, if you're into smooth hair, then you add a little bit of hibiscus into it.
Right.
So it's really versatile. And for me, the whole fact that you can lead your life with just you know, with what the plants and the trees give you back.
In itself simplicity.
Is a, absolutely. You know, the,
simple
the,
life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whether it's a tooth powder or a bath powder or a shampoo made out of bioenzyme or cleaning liquids made out of bioenzyme. Every single thing that you're using in your day-to-day life, if it's possible to eliminate the big... you know, like all the industries and factories and transportation system.
Exactly.
I think the
plastic factories making the bottles for
exactly,
the shampoo and
exactly,
and it's a web of pollution and industrialization,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But the fact is that you use that, and a few of your neighbors use that, few
yes,
friends use it. But there's quite a few people in the community who don't have that awareness,
yes,
or they're not willing to shift from their habits, you know. So there's a lot of communication work that you must be engaged in, trying to get people to wake up to the, because if all of the water was clean from bioenzyme, that would be like the best gift that we could give back to the earth, no?
Absolutely, because bioenzyme, I mean, there's enough research on that bioenzyme can be quite helpful in controlling the E. coli content in you know, the water. There's a lot of research paper on that, and I personally feel I think it's a lot to do with convenience. So
yes,
it's something that one needs to kind of find within, you know, like how to move a little bit away from the convenience of.
But it's a convenience, it's just habit, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
habit also.
You work out, actually, if you do your own bioenzyme, you save that trip to the shop, you save that money, you save this, you save that.
True.
I mean, you see the savings on a much larger level, on the environmental level.
Absolutely.
For our children, for, you know, so it's I think it's convenience is really a very it's a very myopic benefit.
You know,
it's far more convenient, I think, if we make our own.
True. It's just a perspective change.
Exactly.
And also money, you know, like,
yes,
I mean, we don't know where this world is going.
Yes.
So, you know, imagine if you didn't have to spend anything towards cleaning products at all. That's like, you know.
And then that's going back to a garden where you're not having to buy your lady's finger or your cluster beans or your fruits and...
Exactly.
And
you've summed it up, you know.
Like,
because for me, in my journey of even learning, you know, permaculture, when I first stepped into Solitude with your workshop, was the whole idea of me coming there was to see what part of what I eat can I be independent, you know, independently growing a little bit. Like for me, the way I've been brought up, we've never paid a penny for coconut and curry leaf and, you know, lemons, all
the
these things.
Things.
Yeah, these were trees which are supposed to be growing in your backyard, you know. From the South Indian culture, you all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
for banana,
sure,
papaya, moringa is something that's a must in every household's
absolutely
backyard.
Yeah.
So for me, it somehow, every time I pay for curry leaf, something happens in my body.
Yeah,
you know
you
what
don't
I'm saying?
Feel good.
Yeah. You don't feel, something's off about it. So for me, when I came to you to learn permaculture, the idea was this. And I feel it's come a kind of a full circle, you know, 2.5 years back, learning that from you and now giving it back to this.
Creating your own space.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, for the community, not just for me, for the entire, you know, community to see. And it's for me, every minute that I spend on that particular community food garden, for me, it's just an absolute pleasure. Not for a moment do I, you know, think about who else is there to help me. Why isn't, you know, like it feels so rewarding to just be there and watch things grow.
And how many gardens are there now? How many circles are there now?
We have about five circles.
Yeah,
and
we have
circles.
A big hedge, which
yes
is alive with so many plants.
Yes,
no?
And two patches of spinach garden.
Two patches of spinach and the expansion, the next step. We
yes
have another land,
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Which
we
is
have,
next to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, which is nice, which receives a lot of sun, which is quite a nice thing.
Mm.
And well, we have like two ideas that floating around in our head. So we need to see which way we sway.
Mm.
One would be to have like a nice fruit orchard, possibly, you know, or an alternative would be to have beds of, you know, vegetable gardens. So we need to see which way the community, you know, sways and see what happens.
So the community is having so you'll present a plan to the community and see.
Yeah. And see which way we go and, you know, what, like, for example, drip irrigation is something that we would really like to consider, but it comes at a cost. So
definitely,
we need to,
you need a water tank, you need a pump, you need so many things,
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Right.
And also we need to kind of all of us go together in this, you know, it's yeah. not just.
But that is the challenge,
people,
isn't it? Yeah. Because that's the challenge, because you're how many people in the community?
We are about 11 families.
11 yeah. families, yeah. but only three individuals really engaged.
Yeah, as of now. Yeah.
So that's obviously a challenge. I mean, I think that it's a microcosm.
Yeah.
Of a much larger, I mean, it's a reflection of, it's not only your community like yeah. that, it's globally like that.
True.
And it's, you know, in many places in Oroville, yes. it's like that.
Yeah.
And
we need to wait, you know, patiently.
No, I think that the communication work is what's important, yeah. you know, is to show people the benefits, trying to educate people, trying to show people another vision of beauty, because
yeah.
I think a lot of people's ideas of aesthetics are a hibiscus bush and a tree and this and that and a bit of grass.
Yeah.
Whereas my sense of aesthetics, I think, like yours, is the bottle gourd creeping on a natural hedge with yeah. blue flowers and yeah. a drumstick and a banana in full bloom. You know, that's so I think it's really an education. And we had done with Stefano, no, and you and Marion, we had walked out the land. And
yes.
I think we had estimated about 20 more fruit trees
yeah.
could be planted. So yeah. citrus and mango and yeah. jack and custard apple and all these different yeah. bale fruit, all these different yeah. trees. I mean, if the community had this, I don't know, there'd be maybe 30 fruit trees at the end of that.
True.
And in between, around each fruit tree, there would be bananas and papayas and tapiocas and maybe sweet potato and this. I mean, for me, I can only see benefit.
True.
You know, I see economic gain, I see health yeah. gain, ecological gain. And I see social gain. I think the social gain is not understood. You know, I think that we don't understand deeply enough how much we have created a fragmented society
True.
Because of chasing individual well-being rather than collective well-being. Now, I'm doing a project with some other people, and one of those people has some personal issues. And because of doing this collective project together, he's felt able for the first time in his life to share that with his group of people, because they're doing something together, because there's a sense of being held together. And that is, for me, those are the magic bonds that creates empathy, compassion, affection, and thus freeing of energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
In our society. And I think that that's what underpins the success of a project like that.
No, I completely relate to this, you know, because me and Marion, though we have very specific tasks when it comes to watering, we try and message each other and make sure that there's at least a 10-minute overlap with our work together.
Mm.
That's to come and, you know, bond. It's
right.
for us to talk to
yes,
each other, you know,
share,
because we too come from completely different kind of work background and the kind of age group and all of that. So it feels really good to
yes.
know what's happening in each other's life. She's held fort so many times when, you know, during the past few months for me,
right.
you know, like she's been
yes.
so this is just a good, very good example.
And I think there's unknowns as
yeah,
well, like that,
yeah.
that we can't foresee, you know, the effects of empathy, the effects
yeah.
of the results of sharing, the
yeah.
results of collaboration.
Yeah.
We don't recognize how that is so profoundly, you know, it's not defined by our degrees and the money that we have in our banks. No,
True.
It really isn't. It's defined by much more essential heart
yeah.
values. And that, that's
yeah.
what I think we could start to focus on.
Absolutely.
in another communication about this. It's a little bit less tangible
True.
For people, because they have to experience it
exactly.
for themselves to believe it.
True. And also for the kids, you know, the you may be knowing that this community is thriving with kids. And when they, every time they pass by and they just observe, this is just something, it's like putting up it's like putting up a show for the kids to know that this is how things are grown. Otherwise,
yes.
many kids just see these vegetables in the supermarket.
Yes.
You know, they just know that it's brought into the house, chopped and eaten.
Well, I think another step for Serenity, Serenity. It could be a kids' garden, that the kids actually have their own garden. Because in vocation, I'm doing a kids' garden project.
Yes,
and they have made about 5 different beds now. And they are ready to harvest this Friday amaranth, potalaka, chicken spinach, and some alternetara, this amaranth cousin. And they're going to make their own food.
Nice.
So that's like been just like 6-7 weeks since they started. And they're ready to do that first step. And they are learning a lot of things socially. Yeah. They're learning massively socially. They're learning skills about gardening. They're taking responsibility. It's really a kid's garden. They're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I give them a bit of help. I give them a little nudge and say, don't forget this, do that. And you have to do this and don't forget that. And why don't you try this? But they're in charge. And I think that if you try to create a space where the kids are in charge to do their garden, that could have a really big effect on this communication that we're talking about that's necessary to educate the adults.
True.
Because the kids always influence their parents.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be, you know, amazing.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, very nice. Thank you so much for sharing, Rekha. And we can see photos of this project. I think it's on my Facebook page and your Facebook page.
Some of it, yes.
Some of it.
And the videos that we've done. So,
yeah, so maybe we can get some of them onto this podcast. We can get some photos shared through that. And I'll see you on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Yes.
We've got some planting to do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Most welcome. Thank you.
So, guys, see you next week. And I hope you've enjoyed this more sort of live TV sort of style radio show today. Thanks to Ruben, who is our visual audio guy. And, of course, thanks to Stefano for making this whole thing happen. And see you soon. Just for joy, these notes I sing with you, jumping under my fingertips, hope to spread happiness through to you. Like mischievous forest elves, those notes aren't scared of the game, frightening to those who never play with us, frightening to those who never join the groove. La 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 la. Give all yourself to you. Don't hold anything back. Does this make sense to you? Yes.
just give all yourself to you. Don't hold anything back. Does this make sense to you? Don't think too much, just dance. Just give all yourself to you. Oh, don't hold anything back. Does this make sense to you?